Today we'll take a look at the genealogy of Jesus and discuss some last-minute Advent details. Hope you could stay tuned because we begin now. Hope that genealogy thing didn't scare you away. It almost scared me away. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. I was torn when I was at Daily Mass today. I was torn about the gospel. Today's gospel from the Daily Mass is the genealogy of Jesus. It's the one that's read on Christmas Eve. If you go to the afternoon Mass, you'll notice that this is the gospel that's read. It's one that has caused grief and aggravation to many priests and deacons throughout the years because there are a zillion unpronounceable names. But, I was torn because I don't want this to just turn into an exercise of crazy names and seeing how badly Gary mispronounces these names. But, on the other hand, I think there is an important message contained in the gospel because this gospel illustrates the fact that some promises were made to Abraham, and those promises were fulfilled in the person of Christ. So I am going to read the gospel today. Bear with me as I try to pronounce the names, but I want to try to mention a few concepts as we go through it, because I think it's important to understand those things. So that's what we'll do in the program today. We'll do the first reading as well in the psalm. We will, in addition, pray our St. Andrew Novena. And I have a little reflection at the end that I want to share as well. Now, tomorrow on the program, since it is the Friday show, of course, we'll look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent. But what I'm going to do tomorrow, now I typically do this sometime for Advent and for Lent at some point in the season. I want to do an examination of conscience. Ah, yes, the dreaded examination of conscience. But this time, I'm not going to use the super-duper one that I typically use. We'll save that for Lent. But I'll do an examination of conscience to make you think about some things that might need to be cleaned up. And the reason I want you to think about this is because we're entering into the final week of Advent, and a lot of parishes have confession over the weekend. And I hope this motivates you to take advantage of the great sacrament of confession. Don't wait. This is what we want to remember. We don't want to wait. This could be our last Advent. We want to take advantage of the opportunity given to us by the church. The opportunity given to us to turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And Advent is the perfect time of the year to do just that. So we will be talking about that on the program tomorrow. We'll do the examination of conscience. I hope you could tune in. If you know anybody who could benefit from it, please let them know as well. We always have room for extra people here on the program. And I really hope you've been enjoying this Advent retreat. It's helped me. And remember, Advent's not over. In fact, I'll be on Relevant Radio on Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, offering some last-minute suggestions for making the most out of Advent. It's not done yet. And even if you think you didn't do a good job, you will be amazed at how simple it is to do a few little things to make this a productive Advent. So that's what I'm going to be sharing on Monday, 7 a.m. on Relevant Radio. I'll mention more about it on the program tomorrow. Tomorrow, if you are in the Iowa listening area, I'll be on the Iowa Catholic Radio on the morning show at 8:45 a.m. Eastern Time for my monthly Walking with the Lord segment. We're going to talk about the fact that now is the time. Now is the time to wake up from our sleep, to get busy, because we still have time. We are still here. There is hope. There is hope for us still. This is the season to get ready to welcome the Lord, and we don't want to waste that opportunity. So if you can listen to that, you might learn something else new as well. Today's beverage du jour, in case you're wondering. Here we go. We're going with the cold beverage today of a can of black cherry soda. This is A Treat Black Cherry Soda. This soda is made in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Bottled in Allentown, Pennsylvania. If you're from the area, I'm sure you know of the brand. This is a traditional brand of soda. They've been around forever. They were recently sold And I think they went out of business for a few months. They were brought back by somebody else who bought them. Anyway, really good stuff. When my family and I travel to the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, I always pick up a few six-packs of this. Really good stuff. A Treat, black cherry soda. I hope you've got a snack. I hope you got a beverage. Hope you're ready to do some serious contemplation on Jesus Christ today. 30 minutes, that's all we have. I'm glad that we have this time to spend together. I really am. And I want to thank you, too, for listening and helping me out. Many of you have contributed financially to my work, and I'm very grateful for that. And in addition, I know a lot of you have gone to Amazon using the link on my website, followingthetruth.com, and to Mystic Monk Coffee, again, from the link on followingthetruth.com. Please keep that in mind. If you'll continue to do that, that helps me to get a small commission to keep this program going. If you'd like to support my work, that's a really easy way to do it. So if you're going to shop from Amazon anyway, if you would just go to followingthetruth.com and enter Amazon using the link on the sidebar of any of the pages of my website, that will help me by giving me, again, it's not a big commission, but it's a small one, and I'll take it. So if you're able to continue doing that and let your friends and family know to do it as well, that really helps me. And that's a way that you can support my work, and it doesn't cost you anything extra at all. And I thank you very much in advance for anything you can do to continue to keep me on the air and to keep my full-time ministry active. All right, time to pray, and then we'll get ready to do our St. Andrew Novena, and then we'll tackle these heavy-duty readings today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day to know you, to love you, and to serve you. We're very grateful for the opportunity that you have given us during this Advent season to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to bless all of us, our family, those around us. Please keep us safe from all physical and spiritual dangers. Father, we ask that you help us as we continue to walk this road, which will one day lead, God willing, to eternal life in heaven with you. We ask you to be with the sick, help them, the lonely, the anxious, those who are troubled with financial problems, those who are dealing with weather conditions or religious persecution. Please help them all, protect them, grant them your peace. Father, we also ask that you will take over the show. Take over the show, speak through me on the program today, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we do each day, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now it's time for our Christmas Novena, or sometimes called the St. Andrew Novena. We're going to do this 15 times, as we've been doing throughout Advent. And we do this to help meditate on the great mystery and blessing of the birth of Christ, as well as to lift up our intentions, our impossible intentions, the best ones that we can think of. We want to give it all to the Lord and ask for him to grant those intentions through this novena. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks so much for praying with me. This is Gary Zimak once again signing on to his program on Blog Talk Radio as he talks about himself in the third person. That's weird, doesn't it? Anyway, great to have you with me here on the show. Got lots to do today. We're going to look at the Mass readings in a couple of minutes. But first of all, I want to just thank you for tuning in to the show. As a reminder, if you're a new listener to the program, we've been doing this for 5 years now. We are currently in our sixth year. And great to be, I mean, it really is great to be able to talk about Jesus every night for these 30 minutes. And I'm so glad we could spend the time together. We are going to take off on Christmas Day. So next week, we'll do shows Monday through Thursday. We'll wrap up the Christmas retreat then. But the following Monday, the Monday after Christmas, we'll do our regular shows, but we're going to stick to the Christmas theme. We'll do the daily Mass readings and stick to the Christmas theme because we're in the octave of Christmas. After that, the following week after that, we'll begin our programs dedicated to the regular daily themes. Now, some of them may be the old themes that I was doing. Some might be new. That'll take us up until Lent, when, God willing, I plan to do another Lenten retreat, and I hope you'll join me for that as we travel through the weeks of Lent, much in the same way that we traveled through the 4 weeks of Advent. We'll do the same for the weeks of Lent, and I hope you'll be able to join me for that. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to send my way, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, you ready to get started? Today is Thursday, December the 17th, Thursday of the third week of Advent. And we begin with a reading from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 49, verses 2 through 10. Jacob called his sons and said to them, "Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. You, Judah, shall your brothers praise your hand on the neck of your enemies. The sons of your father shall bow down to you, Judah, like a lion's whelp. You have grown up on prey, my son. He crouches like a lion recumbent, the king of beasts. Who would dare rouse him? The scepter shall never depart from Judah, or the mace from between his legs, while tribute is brought to him, and he receives the people's homage." All of these readings throughout the Advent season call attention to the fact that the Messiah will be coming, and certain details are given about the Messiah so that people would recognize him when he came. And Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies. And we see the same thing here, referring to Jacob, referring to the sons of Judah, or the house of Judah. The Savior will come through the line of Judah, and you're going to hear Judah mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ that we read in the gospel. The psalm today, Psalm 72, "Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. The mountains shall yield peace for the people, and the hills justice. He shall defend the afflicted among the people, save the children of the poor. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness." And again, we see this anticipation. Remember, this is written prior to the time of Jesus coming to earth, becoming man. People were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah for many, many years. We look at the incident, at the event, with hindsight now, because we know that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. But we want to try to capture some of that anticipation. We want to try to capture some of that spirit of longing, of hunger. And we can all do that by looking at the fact that we should desire to get closer to Christ. Advent gives us the opportunity to do so. And as a result of that longing, a result of that desire to grow closer to him, again, like I mentioned on the show, don't worry about how you're going to do it. Just worry about focusing on wanting to do it, and that it's possible. That desire should motivate us to try to clean up anything in our lives that holds us back, that keeps us away from the Lord. And Advent gives us the time to really work on these things. So we should start now anticipating. Look at Christmas if you have to. If you need an endpoint, that's fine. You want to be closer to Christ come Christmas Day than you are right now, or the end that you were at the beginning of Advent. And it's not all that difficult to make it happen. It really isn't. Anytime you open the Bible and listen to the Lord speak through the pages of sacred scripture, you're taking a step in the right direction. You're going to come closer to him every time you read scripture, provided you try to get some meaning out of it, which is hopefully what we're doing on the program here. So by going through these exercises, by going through these meditations, we are getting closer to Christ, even if it doesn't feel like it. All right, here's the big one. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through 17. "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab became the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah, Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok became the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar became the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. All right, we made it through. What's the first thing that you notice, other than there are a lot of funny names in that reading? Well, I would hope one of the first things you'll notice is that it took a long time for God's promise to Abraham to be fulfilled. A couple thousand of years, really, for the Savior to come to the earth. And that's one of the things that we should remember, that God keeps his promises, but he's not necessarily in a hurry. He's got a plan. His plan, even though we might not be able to figure it out, is always better than our plan. And the more we get to know him, the more we trust him. The more we trust him, the more we're able to cut him some slack and not become panicked when he doesn't seem to be answering our attentions as fast as possible. The other thing is, when we look at that genealogy, we see some imperfect people in there. Interestingly enough, four women are mentioned in the genealogy. Three of them have something, with the exception of Ruth, they all have something to do with sexual immorality. So Jesus came from a line of people who were not necessarily perfect in any way. This is a reminder that God can always bring good out of evil. If we look at the way he operates, if we look at the salvation history contained in the Bible, we see that so many times imperfect people did some really stupid things. But that didn't thwart the plan of God. The plan was to send us a Messiah. He was going to do it no matter what. That should make you feel good when you look at your sinfulness, when you look at how imperfect you are. I mean, join the club. We're all members of the same club, the imperfect club. No matter how bad we mess up, we can always seek forgiveness, and that's why the sacrament of confession is great. But also, God can always bring good out of anything that we happen to mess up. So even if you don't do exactly what he wanted you to do, he can bring good out of it. And even if somebody does something to you that might not be exactly nice, some good can still result from it. And anything that God allows to happen in your life is allowed to happen for a reason. So we could seek some comfort from that. The genealogy is really good because at the time God made the promises to Abraham, promises of many descendants and the other promises, it really didn't look like it would be possible for him to fulfill those promises. Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord first called him to leave his homeland. By the time his son Isaac was born, he was close to 100. So, you know, don't lose hope. You need to have hope. Advent is a season of hope, and we look forward. Advent is a season of looking forward to the future with anticipation, with hope, remembering that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We are all created to live one day in heaven. So we've got to look past the gloominess of the rainy days. I'm looking outside right now. It's raining. It's dreary out. There are a lot of things that we face in our lives that are uncomfortable. But in the end, all things will work out. We just need to trust the Lord. Let's take a look at a reading now from the book Meditations from Advent to Lent. I have about five more minutes. Let's take a look about the fact of, let me just read it and we'll talk about it. O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no man closes, you close and no man opens. Come and deliver him from the chains of prison, who sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. Today's petition, O Lord, deliver me from the chains of my sins, I who often sit in the darkness and sometimes in the shadow of death. The key and scepter are symbols of power. I know that even today we extend the keys of the city only to the most distinguished visitors. For the one who has the keys to the gates of a city can come in and go out as he pleases. He can admit and exclude as he wishes. He has the power and mastery of that city. Perhaps I, in some small way, have had keys of authority and can understand from my own experience the significance of the symbolism. Christ came to deliver men and women chained in their sins, sunk in vice, sodden with despair. But though he was all-powerful, he didn't impose himself by force on his free creatures. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the gate and knock. If any man listens to my voice and opens the door to me, I will come into him and will eat with him and he with me." In my own life, he does not change his tactics. He will call me gently to a more perfect service, but he will not force the matter. And that's an important thing for us to remember. The Lord's not going to force his way into our lives. He's not going to force you to do the work necessary to grow closer to him this Advent. He let me waste many Advents. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. But he's not going to force you to grow closer to him. Amazingly, he won't do that. He wants you to approach him freely. That's because he loves you. He respects your free will. Let's see. Did I ever think of where I would be if Christ had not come? Where all humanity would be at the present time, without hope, without any prospect of everlasting happiness? How often during the past week has it occurred to me to thank him for redeeming men and women, for giving hope back to the world? And more particularly in my own life, had he not called me to come and give him more distinguished service, what would my life have been? Think of all the opportunities for doing good which he has put before me, and how many through his grace I have been able to realize. Captives who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This old comparison has become only too vivid in our eyes as we remember the vast concentration camps of millions of slaves in our modern world. But how often do I think of the spiritual captives in the world about me? How many millions are enslaved by their passions, bowed down under the burden of their sins, lying immovable, pressed down to the earth? How much there is to do, how many there are who are waiting to hear the good news of their redemption. Each day, I am a vital part of the Church of God, which constantly works to bring about the salvation of men and women throughout the world. How happy and grateful I should be to our Lord that I can share in his work, that I too can bring the good news to those about me. If I think that my world too narrow, let me pause and count up the opportunities which lie before me just today. How many people I shall meet, how many conversations I shall have, how many chances to help our Lord in his work of redeeming the world. There you go. That's something to think about as we get prepared to enter into the final week of Advent. Remember, we still have time. It's not over till it's over. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk a little bit more and share some thoughts as we head into the final week of Advent. We'll look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. But in addition, we'll do this examination of conscience. So in preparation for your going to confession, I want to talk about these things, some things to make you think, because one of the things we need to do is recognize our sinfulness in order to fix it, right? I mean, that only makes sense. So we'll talk about that on the show. I plan to be here. I hope you can join me as well. And remember, let your friends know. Anybody is welcome, even if they haven't participated in the retreat up until now. they'll benefit from it, because we're going to make sure that, especially in this last week, I'm going to try to summarize things in a way that even if they weren't listening, they will benefit. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And God willing, we'll see you tomorrow.